Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz just gently fades away, what a joy to welcome you once again to Just a Minute. Time to introduce you to the four magnificent players of today's game. They are Anna Maxwell-Martin, Julian Clary, Jennifer Saunders, and Paul Merton. Please whoop and cheer for all of them. No need to rip today's rule book up. As usual, we will be asking our wonderful players to speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on any given topic. Let's see how that goes for them. And Anna, we're going to start with you. Chain letters. What can you tell us about chain letters without hesitation, repetition, or deviation? You've got 60 seconds starting now.
I thought you were going to say chain smoking, but that would be a deviation if I started yibbering on about that, so I won't. Chain letters is something I'm really going to struggle to talk about, if I'm being completely honest, because I haven't got a clue what it means. I can only assume that it's something to do with people in prison, a.k.a. a gang of chains.
Your challenge?
Repetition of A.
Unfortunately, it's a correct challenge. A point to you. Well done, Paul. 37 seconds remaining on the clock on chain letters, and your time starts now.
I don't know if chain letters still exist, but certainly about 30 or 40 years ago, they were quite prevalent. You would get a letter through the post, and it would ask you to send that letter on to another individual.
Julian.
Repetition of letter.
Yes.
Oh, well done. Yes, letters is on the card. Yeah, well done. Correct challenge, letters. You get the point. You also get the subject of chain letters with 28 seconds remaining, and your time starts now.
It's a very unpleasant business, chain letters. Some missive arrives from Mr. Postie in the first instance, and it's...
Anna.
Oh, was it a hesitation?
So the slightest of hesitations. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a point for a correct challenge, but I'd like to give Julian the benefit of the doubt to carry on with the subject, because I feel he's much more to say in the 20 seconds that are present for him. So with 20 seconds remaining, the subject is still yours, and your time starts now.
You open the envelope, and the horror. You read the words, unless you pass this very similar thing on to at least 25 people, awful things will befall you. Well, I couldn't sleep a wink. I thought, shall I go along with this? No, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to defy it. And nothing like that was indicated.
And Julian, we're back with you for your subject, which is the extraordinary singing talent of Whitney Houston. So Whitney Houston is your subject. 60 seconds, please, on that diva starting now.
It's not widely known, but I've got a lovely singing voice. And I once did that song by Whitney Houston, Ooh, I Wanna Dance With Somebody, in panto 12 times a week. And people came from far and wide just to hear the timbre of my voice. They said it's as if Whitney...
Oh, Jennifer.
Voice.
Double voice, yes.
Double voice. Oh, damn. Challenge. I don't know anything about Whitney.
Well, now's your time. So you've got 42 seconds on the clock. Whitney Houston, let's have at it, starting now.
Whitney Houston, who famously sung that Dolly Parton number, I Will Always Love You. You can guarantee that a Whitney Houston number will get me on my feet in any dance floor, anywhere in the world.
No, actually, it's wrong, because it was anywhere. Any and anywhere. So I was going to challenge, but it's two words, so well done.
Yeah, there you go.
Two different words.
Incorrect challenge. From
I've still got to do it again. Right?
Yes, you have. And potentially again and again and again. So you keep the subject. 26 seconds remaining. Brace yourself.
Yes.
Your time starts now.
Ooh, I want to dance with somebody. I don't know if...
Anna.
Are you not allowed to repeat that? Because that was said before.
Julian said that, but Jennifer didn't. So Jennifer's allowed to say it. She's allowed to pick up on what Julian first came up with. So 22 seconds in the never-ending subject of... this really is the 12-inch version. Whitney Houston, your time starts now.
Whitney Houston had a lovely face. She was the star of a film called The Bodyguard, which was then made into a West End musical. The movie itself...
Anna.
Movie?
I said film before.
Film and movie.
Oh, sorry.
Incorrect challenge under the rules of Just a Minute. Jennifer, you're so aware of the discography. Let's have it. 7 seconds starting now.
Whitney Houston came from a singing family. She had a famous aunt called Cindy. She had very long...
It's too obvious sometimes to talk about her music. And what Jennifer did so beautifully there... was talk about the person.
She conjured her up.
She did. Jennifer, speaking as the whistle went, and gets the point. Not only do you get the point, you get the next subject. Standing ovation is your subject. I'm sure you had lots and lots of those. 60 seconds, please, on the subject, starting now.
A standing ovation is something that Whitney Houston would have experienced many of. A standing ovation is when the audience, at the end of a performance, a play, an opera, possibly a political speech, gets to their feet and claps. For many people, this is the culmination of a wonderful evening. For some people, it's...
Paul.
A repetition of people.
Yes.
A correct challenge. It was indeed a repetition of people, which means you get the subject. 37 seconds remaining on standing ovation, starting now.
The only occasions on which I received a standing ovation being on stage were when I was touring India. We played Mumbai, Delhi, Calcutta, and we were absolutely appearing in theatres and in front of an Indian audience and improvisation, and it was something that they really loved. They'd seen the Indian version of Who's...
Julian.
Repetition.
Indian. Yes, yes, a repetition of Indian, which means you get to the subject with 20 seconds remaining. Standing ovation, your time starts now.
I thought I was receiving a standing ovation once. People were just bored and standing up to get their coats on. But I know it goes on in opera and ballet. I went lots of times with my mother. Rudolf Nureyev, he only had to poke his head round the corner of the curtain. People would stand up cheering. Standing ovation, something I hope to achieve before my day.
Julian was speaking as the whistle went, which means he gets the point. And Paul, I wonder if you've ever had a pair of shoes that had platform soles. 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on platform soles, starting now.
Never had any.
Julian.
Hesitation.
Correct. It was definitive.
Sheer refusal.
There was, yeah. Correct challenge, you get the subject with 57 full seconds. On platform soles, starting now.
Paul came round to my house once in 1987 wearing platform soles. I said, come in quick before the neighbours see you. He was very keen on them. He's lying what he said earlier. He had 8 different pairs, one for every day of the week. And
8 different pairs, one for every day of the week?
Yes, I think...
And I never went round his house in 1987. It was 1986. And I had 5 pairs.
I'm going to give you that deviation from the number of correct days in the week. And bearing in mind you didn't want the subject, I can't wait for you to have it back again. Yeah. Platform soles, please. 42 seconds remaining, starting now.
I still don't want it.
Julian.
Well, I don't particularly, but I could do with the points.
So your challenge, according to the rules?
Pause, hesitation.
Yes. Yeah. 40 seconds, please, on platform soles, starting now.
Platform soles really suit a nice, sturdy, muscular, hairy leg. It shows it off, and if you tie it in with fishnets, all poking through are those...
Jennifer.
I sense he'd lost it entirely. What was poking through what?
I didn't want to repeat hairs, but that was the image I was going for.
I got that.
I don't think I'd lost it completely. It's just
Well, I thought it was a bit of a hesitation and a bit of a deviation.
Let's face it.
I know I'm
There's
new
two
on
things
this.
Going on here.
Yes.
A, you've not played the game very often, which means I'm minded to step in. Okay. And secondly, I owe pretty much the entirety of my career to you and Dawn, and so for that reason...
No, don't give it to me. Him,
no, I want to hear it. I'm joking. much as I could see the hairs poking out of the legs, an image for which I'm not thanking you, I'm going to give Jennifer the benefit of the doubt. She's not played the game as often as everyone else. I want to hear what she's
really
got to say. It doesn't matter now. I'm giving it to you.
Right,
and that is
all right,
what's
I'll
happening.
Have a go.
Platform soles, 28 seconds starting now.
I'm thinking not so much platform soles as platform...
Anna.
Deviation. She says she's not thinking about platform soles.
And in that way, you're correct. If I've given it for not being able to visualise hairs poking through a fishnet, I believe I have to give you the point for that. She's already saying she's not prepared to engage the subject, so you get the subject now, Anna, which has been going on for approximately 28 minutes of our available time on this show. 24 seconds, Anna, on Platform Souls, starting now.
I feel bad taking the subject of Platform Souls because I think probably...
Why?
Jennifer, this is now becoming a conversation.
I'm out.
Conversation, you just don't need the buzzers.
I didn't want to think about it. You took it. I mean,
I'm about to explain.
Oh, okay, fine. That's fine.
Once again, you don't need the buzzers just to talk to one another. I'm going to say that, Anna, you keep the subject. I didn't believe that was a meaningful enough challenge to warrant a change. So 19 seconds, please, on Platform Souls, starting now.
I look at Jennifer and Julian, and I think they reek of Platform Souls. I can imagine that both of them have spent much of their careers trotting about in those elevated shoes. Julian in spot.
Paul.
Yes, repetition of Julian.
Yes.
Indeed, which means 3 seconds to go. That's the game.
I apologise, I planned that deliberately.
Let's see what you can tell us about Platform Souls starting now.
In the 1970s, Platform Souls were the height of fashion, literally.
Paul speaking as the whistle went means that he gets the point, and we are at the end of that round. Time for a few scores. Everybody pretty tightly bunched. Anna and Jennifer just trailing slightly. Paul just a little bit ahead of them and just slightly out in the lead. Julian, we now move to round two. And first up, we've got you, Anna. Now, I wonder if you've ever done this. Foraging for mushrooms. That face says to me, possibly not, but we'll see. Foraging for mushrooms. It's your subject. You've got 60 seconds on that. And your time starts now.
Foraging for mushrooms can be a dicey old business. You can imbibe one and suddenly it's toast for you. You're not eating them on the bread, heated up in a little machine with slots in it. You are pretty sick, probably vomiting, and other things are...
Julian.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a little bit of hesitation there. I think trying to find another word for vomit. Threat challenge. 39 seconds remaining on foraging for mushrooms, Julian. And your time starts now.
Foraging for mushrooms is best done in the early morning. And take a rustic person with you. The last thing you want is a red cap stuffed down your gullet. It can make you very, very poorly as we...
Repetition of very, very,
yes.
Very.
Oh. Very, very poorly.
Can he have an extra point for rustic person?
Do you know what? Yes. I loved it so much. If I could, I would. Take a rustic person with you. 27 seconds remaining. Paul's correct challenge. You get the subject starting now.
As I wandered around the woods of the New Forest, I could smell mushrooms in the air. I knew that somewhere near where I was standing, there would be the most fantastic crop of mushrooms. I turned to my travelling companion, Nicholas Parsons. Neither one of us had eaten for 5 days, but we had an appetite for mushrooms. We suddenly grabbed each other and said, "Look, over there!" And we ran into this clearing, and there were these beautiful white mushrooms thrusting out of the earth. We grabbed a handful, eat and gobbled them down.
Now, Julian, we're with you. What tips do you have for us all on this? How to be productive? What can you tell us about that in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now?
The best hint I can give you on how to be productive is buy some post-it notes. In the morning, write a list of everything you want to do. I'm very keen on this, very satisfying ticking them off, although I do have a tendency to put things down which are obvious, like get up, put clothes on, but it's all for the satisfaction of that mark with the red ink that you can do last thing at night. Another way to be productive is, of course, just sit quietly and think productive thoughts. You don't have to be practical in your productivity. I can meditate for several days at a time. Always thrilled and wiser at the end of it. How to be productive is something I'm going to write a book on before very long, and it's going to fly off the shelves because we all need to be productive, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? Don't speak as someone...
Oh, was that awful?
Jennifer.
You said don't, quite close to each other.
Yeah, it was correct challenge. So your correct challenge is repetition. Yeah. 5 seconds remaining. So with 5 seconds remaining, Jennifer, I want to hear everything you know about how to be productive, starting now.
The best way I have to be productive is to get rid of all computers, iPads...
A great last-minute coach there meant that Jennifer's speaking as the whistle went and gets the point. And we're back with you, Jennifer. Let's hear what you've got to say on this subject. The voice of my inner child. The time starts now.
The voice of my inner child is very productive. I don't think I would have a career without being nagged by the voice of my inner child that tells me not to grow up, to remain silly and stupid and just continue writing comedy. My voice of my inner child tells me to fall over. It encourages...
Anna.
Oh, tells me.
I think it's tells.
Yes, there was a repetition of tells. A little repetition there. Correct challenge means that you get the subject. With 37 seconds remaining, Anna, and your time starts now.
There are many voices of my inner child, which might suggest that I have an illness. But I try to listen to all of them and get on with things and...
Julian.
Hesitation.
Little bit of hesitation there, yes, just a little bit. 25 seconds remaining on that. The voice of my inner child, Julian, starting now.
According to a system called transactional analysis, we all have three different ego states: parent, adult, and child. Comedians, as you've already indicated, have a highly developed inner child. We laugh at life and we keep smiling. I wouldn't want to be stuck in either of the alternatives because then you'd be dreary and grim. Your voice of my inner child whispers...
Fabulous stuff. Julian speaking as the whistle went means that he gets the points. And Paul, we're with you. Now, I'm sure you never do this. Forgetting the shopping list. What can you tell us about that in 60 seconds? Forgetting the shopping list, your time starts now.
Inevitably, if I find myself wandering around a supermarket and I forgot the shopping list, I've left it at home upon the tall boy, I think to myself, what produce am I going to get here now that I haven't made a list that I have got in front of me? So what I do is I think, well, I look at it alphabetically. I might get some apples, bananas, cauliflower, a dentist chair, Ina Blyton box set, this kind of thing are what I'm after when I forget my shopping list. People say, well, why don't you make a carbon copy? And I say, that's very old technology these days.
Julian.
It's a bit weak, but there is repetition of say very close to a previous say.
It's a punchy challenge, but you two are very seasoned players. So
yes.
Absolutely, I will hold you to that standard. Correct challenge from you, Julian. You get the point. You get the subject. 30 seconds, please, on forgetting the shopping list, starting now.
There's nothing quite as sad or wistful as picking up your trolley and inside is a forgotten shopping list by some old biddy. Look what she's buying. Cup of soup, small brown loaf, cat food. It brings tears to my eye.
Was my upbeat monologue interrupted for this? This tragic sob story.
Can I just say small brown loaf on a show? Where can you get them? I want to
see. Second shelf from the bottom.
Got it. I enjoyed that. I'm going to give you an extra point for the challenge, Paul, but the subject stays with Julian and his small brown loaf for 13 seconds, starting now.
Forgetting the shopping list is something I've done so often. You get into the emporium and you think, darn it, I've forgotten the list. So you have to make it up, don't you? And you follow yourself round.
Speaking of the whistle went, gains that extra point just getting in there before the challenge, which would have been how come you're following yourself, which
you? Exactly.
Sent us down a very complex alley. Right, that's the end of the second round. Let's have a look at the scores. Oh, it's very, very tight. Just trailing slightly in fourth place, we've got Anna. Ahead of her, we've got Jennifer and then Paul. And striding out ahead, boldly, we've got Julian. And Julian, I'd like you to kick off with this subject. The time I walked all the way home. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I've been out with the lads in Holloway, and I thought, goodness me, is it 11:30? I must scurry off at once. See you later, guys, I cooed. And I got onto the street. No sign of a bus or a taxi. Well, there isn't in that part of London. I thought, well, I shall mince home. This was the time I walked all the way home. And I had a lovely evening of it. I met all manner of people, insomniacs mainly, the occasional drunk, people who'd taken...
Oh, did we have a repetition of people?
We did. There was double people. Lots of people out that night. Correct challenge, which means you get the subject with 29 seconds remaining. The time I walked all the way home, starting now.
I attended an amateur dramatic course at Sutton Library around about 1981, and I never had the fare to get myself home, so I would walk all the way home from the place I mentioned just now to West Norwood. It would take about 2.5, sometimes 3 hours, and it was often raining, and I would get very wet indeed. But I was so committed to trying to give myself some experience of being on stage, even if it was in a non-professional capacity, I was quite willing to perambulate all that distance every single week. I remember...
Well, I'm Paul, you walked that all the way home and got a point for it. Jennifer, duck, duck, goose.
Oh.
Duck, duck, goose.
Duck,
I say
duck,
that.
Goose.
Never played it before, but there you go. Mm. It's on the card. Duck, duck, goose. You might have played it. Let's find out. It's your subject. 60 seconds, please. Your time starts now.
For those that don't know, Duck, Duck, Goose is a playground game, or sometimes, I think, played by executives that should have been on The Apprentice that are doing it as a character building or trust exercise. It involves all the participants sitting in a circle facing each other. One is then picked to run around the outside of the perimeter, tapping the shoulders of the others. When they are tapped, they are either duck or goose. If you are goose, you are the chosen one that then has to follow.
A buzz from Julian.
Oh, it sounds such fun. No, there was a hesitation.
Yeah. A correct challenge. That was amazing, Jennifer. You spoke 40 seconds. Well done. That was very good going. 20 seconds remaining, please, on Duck, Duck, Goose. Your time starts now.
Duck, Duck, Goose. I expect it's popular with rustic people because they out in the field. Oh, let's say Duck, Duck, Goose. We all sit round in a circle.
So why have we gone to South Africa?
it's
set in Johannesburg, this.
By all purpose, rustic voice, isn't it?
Well, it certainly transported me, although I can't quite pinpoint where to.
Julian is known. He's known as the man of a thousand voice.
I would say I couldn't really understand any of it, so I couldn't possibly adjudicate whether there was any repetition.
Well, there's a repetition of...
I'm going to let you keep the subject, Julian. 7 seconds is all yours to play with. Duck, duck, goose. 7 seconds with which to marginalise and offend the rest of the farming community in the United Kingdom. Your time starts now.
Tell you what's a novelty is having a repetition in the title of a subject. Duck, duck, goose. I could say duck, duck, duck.
Well done, Julian. You were speaking as the whistle went. And Paul, you're going to take us into the final round, please. Paper aeroplanes. That's the subject. 60 seconds, please, on paper aeroplanes. Your time starts now.
When I was about 7 years old and living in a council flat in Fulham, I said to the boy next door, let's go up a couple of floors and see if we can make these paper aeroplanes fly. They weren't particularly well designed, but there was something about being at the height we were as we threw them off the balcony and the zephyrs got caught underneath the wings and they started to float a fair distance. And because, of course, we were about 15, 20 feet up, they did fly to a certain extent.
Jennifer.
I'll regret it, but it was fly.
Yeah, double fly.
Double fly.
It was a double fly. Mm. Correct challenge. According to the rules of just a minute, you get the points. And that sound, I suspect, means you are gleeful in taking on the mantle.
So happy for this one.
34 seconds on paper aeroplanes. What can you tell us all about them, starting now?
As a child, my brothers and I used to fold paper into paper aeroplanes. We called them darts, and we would go to the top of the stairs and launch them into the hallway. Mine generally hit the floor with a thud. My brothers would float off. My brothers.
Julian.
Repetition of brothers.
Yes. Did I say brothers?
Yes. Brothers. You did. Correct challenge. Julian, you get 17 seconds to talk about paper aeroplanes, starting now.
Me and my mates used to fold up bits of paper to make aeroplanes, and then we would climb up to the second floor, open the window, and...
He's doing my material. He's taken an anecdote from my a treasured anecdote from my childhood, and has camped it up.
There's no denying it, but sadly plagiarism doesn't fall within the rules of just a minute.
Well.
But it's been noted, can I just say. 8 seconds, Julian, to talk about paper aeroplanes, starting now.
I launched my plane, the wind caught it, it flew
He's
off
into... of my memory. This is like something out of Blade Runner.
It's not that unique, throwing a paper aeroplane out the window. We've all done it.
Mm. You've never done it once, have you?
Me and my friend Jeffrey, yes.
Well, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Julian, but I have to say, if your story follows any more closely, Paul's, I will have to make an intervention. Let's hear what
you
and
Jeffrey... If you repeat fly, I know that it'll be a copy of me.
Your time, 5 seconds, starts now.
Before it hit the grass, I said to Geoffrey, quick, let's skimper down the stairs.
Paul did make the challenge before the whistle went.
As soon as he deviates from my anecdote, he starts making up words because he doesn't...
It's a well-known word in Teddington, skimper.
No, it's not. There's no skimper. Yes, not skimper.
I feel with 0.0035 seconds remaining on that subject, bearing in mind he feels that his life story has been co-opted in front of a live audience, let's see what Paul's got to say in that time, starting now.
Concord.
And that's our final round. Let's take a look at the scores. In fourth place, we've got Anna. Just slightly ahead, we've got Jennifer. Both of them brilliant new players of the game. In second place, we've got Paul. And today's winner, striding ahead, please give it up for Julian. And there, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, a huge thank you to our incredible players of today's game. Anna Maxwell-Martin, Julian Clary, Jennifer Saunders and Paul Merton. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this show. And of course, to our wonderful mate, Nicholas Parsons, who chaired just a minute for over 50 incredible years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so beautifully. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios production. This is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you so much for listening, wherever you happen to be, and please do join us again next time we all play Just a Minute.